And this is the testimony that God has given us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who has not the Son has not the life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue the same pattern that we've been seeing for these last few days, trying to understand the great mysteries that we've been seeing, the mystery of Christmas and the mystery of the Epiphany, the revelation of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, his soul and divinity coming to us. And what does it all mean? And St. John tells us in his epistle that we've been reading all week, that only with Jesus is the life. Only with Jesus is there true love. And if we love God, we love Jesus Christ, and we love our neighbor, then we will be at peace, and so on. Now today we have a little continuation of the revelation of Jesus Christ, telling us in today's first reading about how Jesus Christ is the life. And at first it's not so clear, at least to me it wasn't so clear, but as time went on, it got clearer and clearer. As we know, Jesus, when he was on the cross, when the soldier put the spear through his side, water and blood flowed. So when St. John talks about the testimony of water and blood, we know what he's talking about. We also know what the fathers of the church tell us about the significance of water and blood. The water and the blood signify the sacraments of baptism and penance. Unless a man be born again of water, he cannot enter the kingdom, water and the Holy Spirit. He cannot enter the kingdom of God. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has life everlasting, and I will raise him up on the last day. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you shall not have life in you. I am the living bread that has come down from heaven. If anyone eat this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread I give is my flesh for the life of the world. So we see what this life is all about. This is the life of the sacraments. Baptism, but especially today, we can say the Eucharist. The body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ. St. Thomas Aquinas, the great doctor of the church, tells us about the Eucharist. O precious, wonderful banquet that brings us salvation, contains all sweetness. Here Christ himself, the true God, is set before us as our food. What could be more wonderful than this? No other sacrament has greater healing power. Through it, sins are purged away, virtues are increased, and the soul is enriched with an abundance of every spiritual grace, every spiritual gift. So we see from St. Thomas Aquinas, no other sacrament has the power of the Eucharist. Okay, it's the most wonderful sacrament because it is the sacrament of the body and blood of Jesus Christ himself. It is God himself. And the life that we're talking about here, that St. John is talking about, this is the life that comes from Jesus Christ, is the life of sanctifying grace. Right? This life of sanctifying grace in the soul, which every soul gets at baptism. In it, the soul is made like unto God. We participate in the life of God. We're made children of God. We're baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The whole Blessed Trinity comes and dwells in the soul. St. Paul would say, do you not know that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? Right? So every soul in the state of sanctifying grace has God within it. God dwells in the soul. This is the life that we receive from Jesus Christ. And this is the seed that will spring up to life everlasting. And we'll have life everlasting. We continue this life because Jesus has promised us life everlasting if we eat this flesh and blood of his and I will raise him up on the last day. So this is a most wonderful teaching that we have in our church, in the Catholic Church, of course, and how few people understand it. St. Paul tells us that the witness of this is from God, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The witness of Jesus Christ is in heaven, and the witness of Christ is on earth. It's Jesus, the water, and the blood. The three are one. The three are one in heaven, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the three are one on earth. The truth of Jesus Christ, the blood, and the water. These three give witness to Christ. And of course, we know this from his miracles. He told us he was God, and in the gospel we see how he proves it. The man comes and who's filled with leprosy. Now, leprosy is understood in the Catholic sense in a lot of ways, in the spiritual sense, is as the leprosy of the soul, too. The soul in mortal sin has what we call the leprosy of sin. So if this soul, this body is filled with leprosy, the body is filled with leprosy, but it also has a correspondence in the spiritual life to souls. We don't know about this poor leper that came to Christ, whether how his soul was, but we can tell you that there are many, many souls in the world today who are filled with sin, and that's akin to the leprosy of the body. So the leprosy of the soul is mortal sin. So Jesus, as he cures the leper, he tells him to go to the priest, and that will be enough. And we know that we get the leprosy of sin cured from us in the sacrament of penance. Whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven. The church has the power through its priesthood, divinely ordained through the apostles, handed down generation after generation. Of course, we know this is so true in our church. And what other church has it? What other church has the Eucharist, has the holy sacrifice of the Mass? What other church has the forgiveness of sins? They think they can just tell their sins to the sky or go out to nature and scream their sins out into the trees and they'll be forgiven. No way, as it were. We have to confess our sins to the priest. Of course, some people, thanks be to God, you could have perfect act of contrition where you're sorry for your sins because you love God, but that's not easy to have. You have to be so sorry for your sins because the love of God has permeated your soul and you're sorry because you love God so much. Most people have a great fear of hell. That's one of the reasons why they go to confession, to get rid of their sins. And hopefully we can get the grace to have perfect contrition. But it's not always so easy. Right? And we're only safe and assured through the confessional. The other way God could forgive sins, as we know he did with Mary Magdalene, many sins are forgiven her because she has loved much. Right? Loved much. That's perfect contrition. But we're not sure of that for the most of us in this world. And this is why sacramental confession, sacrament of penance and reconciliation is so important. It's a must. This is why Our Lady made it part of her first Saturday to go to confession 8 days before or 8 days after the first Saturday, receive Holy Communion to have the body and blood of Christ, and to pray the rosary and meditate on the rosary for 15 minutes. She said when you do that, she will be there at the end of your life with all the graces necessary for your life. Because it's all important to receive the body and blood of Christ. It's all important to go to confession. And needless to say, we continue our theme of outside the church, there is no salvation. How are these people going to be saved who don't believe in the Eucharist, whose churches don't have the Eucharist or confession? And they laugh at it. Right? They make fun of it, as it were, as we have a confessional machine. We just go in and out and get our sins removed. It's not that way. As you know, confession is much more strict than that. Right? The priest is obliged to ask many questions and to make sure the penitent is very sorry. Right? So, what can you say? The world is at error. The world is in great darkness. And as St. John tells us today, only Jesus Christ has conquered the world. And all those who follow Jesus Christ will conquer the world. So let us thank God for the great gifts that we have in our church. And let's shout from the housetops about our church. Because there's so many people think that they're okay. I'm okay, you're okay. One church is as good as another. No, no, one church is not as good as another. Right? I'm reminded somebody said that a good Baptist is better than a bad Catholic. I say no. A good Baptist, that's fine, you're a good Baptist, but that doesn't mean you're going to enter the kingdom of heaven. If you don't have mortal sins on your soul. A bad Catholic can always go to confession and get rid of his sins through the absolution of the priest. So we should be very grateful, all of us in a way who are bad Catholics. We're all bad Catholics. None of us are any too good. We should all be a lot better, and I should be a lot better. So let us strive and be grateful for the great faith that we have. Ask Our Lady to take over our lives. As St. Maximilian Kolbe says, the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Immaculate, penetrates the soul. Right? Penetrates the soul and fills it with her unlimited power. The soul is your memory, your mind and your understanding. So we thank God, and your will, of course. We thank God for that and ask Our Lady to help us. May the Lord bless you.